Hello, and welcome to Create a Way with Art Abundance. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan, and today I'll be speaking with binge writer Gary Zwizinski. Gary has worked for 17 years as a major market radio personality at WGAR FM 99.5, Cleveland's Country in Cleveland, Ohio. He grew up in Lorain County, Ohio, 25 miles west of Cleveland, Ohio, and still lives within 1 mile of the hospital he was born in. His background and jobs have allowed him to be in the company of many famous people. Retirement has opened the door to writing, and he has embraced the excitement of doing it. His writing of novels has been an adventure, and he loves every character as if they were a part of his family. In a sense, they are, since he created each one in his mind. Whether it's in a children's book or a novel or another autobiography, he pours himself into each word. All right, so welcome, Gary. Thanks so much for meeting with me today.
All right, it's great to be here, Wendy, and we can chat a little bit about the North Coast Indie Author Book Expo, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Oh, I'm excited too. I cannot wait. Oh my gosh. It's going to be a blast. So Gary is kind of my cohort, I'm saying, as far as, you know, how we've been together working on marketing this event that's coming up for indie authors on June 25th of this year. So looking forward to that big time. I'll have some information about that in the description below too. So please check that out. So Gary, you've had an extensive career in broadcasting before you even started writing. And I'd love for you to just, as a prelude, you know, talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I spent 17 years on the air at WGAR, Cleveland's Country Music Station in Cleveland, Ohio. And before that, I actually started out here in Lorain County where we're located at WOBL in Oberlin. I worked at WQMX in Akron, but I spent the bulk of my radio career on the air at the station in Cleveland playing country music hits. We were the Country Music Association Radio Station of the Year 2 years I was there, and that was a big time award. We didn't have to call the artists to come and see us. They were calling us and asking if they could stop by and visit. So wow. I got to meet the who's who of country music back. It was between 1985 and 2002. I hugged Reba McEntire, you know, we hung out with Alabama and all those things. And it was great. It was the most fun. I dreamed of doing it as a little kid, and I got, it fell into my lap, and I ended up working at the hometown station, and it was a great career. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you have collected so many stories over those years. And was that your first book that you wrote, writing about those stories, those, you know, that you've collected over the years of, you know, all these amazing experiences you've had with broadcasting, the people you met and all that?
Yes, it was. It was the very first thing I wrote. I wrote that in 2000 and, I think I actually wrote it in 2004. We published it in 2006 after some problems with getting it, you know, getting into the self-publishing genre that we didn't know anything about. Everybody said, you've met all these people. And it's not just country artists. I covered the Cleveland Indians and hung out with Jim Tomey and those guys. And they used to come to the radio station, and television people, movie people. I mean, I was never afraid to walk up to somebody in an airport if they were famous and say, hi, you know, I'm Gary, you know, so everybody said, you should write a book. You should write a book. I said, well, I don't know how to write a book. And I was encouraged to just, you know, put it together. So that is my initial book, which is called I'm Feeling Almost Famous. The title comes from the fact that when I was standing with Reba McEntire, I was almost famous at that moment. So that's where that kind of thing came from. But I wrote that. And then after I finally did retire in 2014, I realized that there was more to the story, and I wasn't prepared for retirement. So I wrote What Now? Retirement Not As Advertised. It's my second half of my autobiography. And I really wasn't. The day after I walked out of my, I ran a t-shirt shop for 35 years. The day after I walked out of that, I was lost because I was a workaholic. I wanted to get up and go to work every day, and it just didn't work out that way. Yeah. From there, my wife kept saying, you can write a novel. And I says, I don't read novels. How am I going to write one? And my first venture into that was basically a story of a young man who wanted to be in radio. You write about what you know, of course.
Yeah.
And it turned out that I didn't know when to turn the faucet off. And when we got it, when I got finished with it, it was 497 pages long.
Oh my gosh.
And to get that printed was rather pricey. The independent authors out there will understand, you know, it's a little more expensive. So I learned very quickly to tone it down and keep it, you know, around 250 pages ish. Mm-hmm. And because I buy all my own books, I keep my own stock. We do not sell on Amazon or any other avenues. We sell through our website, zmanalmostfamous.com, and that's the only way I market my stuff. And that led to, you know, the first book, and then people read it and said, the story's not done. I'm thinking 497 pages, how can the story not be done? But they were right. I didn't have a finish, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was writing this stuff just off the cuff. So okay. I wrote what I thought was the rest of that story. And then that was 52 books ago. I am literally, I will finish up probably today or tomorrow, my 54th book.
Wow.
Involved in that are the two autobiographies, seven little children's books we wrote that were just, you know, alphabet books and stuff that friends of ours, little kids, have just eaten up and love it. And I actually, I've gone to a few of these shows that like the Book Expo, and I sold more of the little kids' books that we self-bound than I did of my books that I had printed. So, but, and then I've got 46, and they're all romance novels. They're Hallmark style, happy ending, no drama books. And I, you know, there's enough drama, somebody else can write all that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's such a variety of, I'm just curious about what led you also to start writing the romance, like what, or do you even know what, you know, how
that I can tell you exactly where it was. I think it was chapter 4 of the very first book, which was called Radio Dreams.
Uh-huh.
And he was a young boy and he was in school. And I thought, you know, he probably should have a girlfriend. And it literally, the book shifted right then.
Uh-huh.
And it went from there. And just from there, it's been, you know, Hallmark-ish type books, which is funny because people told me, your book's just like a Hallmark movie. And I had no idea what they were talking about because I had never watched a Hallmark. I thought Hallmark was only cards.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I turned on a Hallmark movie about, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so, the first one. And by halfway through the movie, I basically knew the dialogue and I knew where the story was going. And I'm saying, holy cow, these are my books in a movie form that I knew nothing about. So for the people that like that, come on out to the Book Expo, look me up. And I've got all the happy romance novels you'd ever want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll be having, of course, your link below in the description. So please check out his book catalog. Oh my gosh. You've got a catalog of books pretty much, don't you?
Ironically, you call that because to cut down on the table space, we took all of our books last year to Columbus when you and I were at the show there. And I think people were overwhelmed because we had over 30 books out. So we're going to cut down on that, but I've put everything in a catalog, as you call it, and it'll be on the table. They can look through and a little description by each book. And we'll be running a show special on the pricing of our books and everything.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I never thought that I would write a book, let alone 54 of them.
That's amazing.
I'm getting close to, and I know it means nothing because Stephen King probably writes 2 million words in a year, but my next book will put us over the 2 million word mark that I've written.
Wow. Jeez Louise. So how long does it take you approximately to write one book?
In the beginning, during COVID, when I had nothing else to do in my life, like the rest of us around here, I actually was turning out, because I'm a binge writer, as I was called by the murder mystery novelist, Lisa Black.
She called, I think that's an appropriate term for you, for sure.
I'm a binge writer. I don't do outline, so that when I sit down, I have to get it on paper or I'll forget it. Wow. And she says that that's very common with a lot of writers. I was writing at one point roughly two books a month.
Jeez.
But I was also, unlike Grisham and King that sit down for 4 hours in the morning and write, and they write a chapter, I was sitting down and writing three and four chapters a day because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I was writing anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000. There was one day I wrote 10,000 words.
Oh my God.
Which roughly was five or six chapters in one of my books. I have slowed down on that a little bit. This last book I've been working on now for, probably almost a month now. And I'm just getting close to wrapping it up. But I've written that many books. We don't have that many books published yet. My poor wife, who has a degree in English, is my editor, and I am only 14 books ahead of her. So just because she has a regular job, you know?
Yeah,
But
she can't keep up with you.
As it is, I can take a break and still have a book a month for the next almost year and a half.
Jeez. I got it. So I don't know if you can answer this or not, but how? I'm like, I'm just like, I wish I could channel some of that. Do you know, is there something you can say as far as like, how is it that you can keep your mind focused on, right? Or how do you feel, how does all this come to you so quickly? And
I can't answer. I don't know. Other than I get into a story and I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
Once again, I mentioned Stephen King. I don't really read Stephen's stuff, but I follow his writing theories. I'm a firm believer, like he is, that an outline is a great place to keep bad ideas because it constricts you into, you know, pigeonholes you into whatever. It works for some people. For me, it doesn't. I start in the morning and I think I'm going to write about Sue and Bob, and they're going to go, you know, out to dinner and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm very visual.
Yeah.
And if I sit down for a minute and I think, I actually visualize these people because I do, in the profiles I create, I find pictures of people, just generic people, you know, actors or whatever. And those are the people I look at. And they may start out at dinner, but I'm watching them have a conversation. It's almost like I can see that. And the next thing I know, they're going to a movie or they're stopping at somebody's house. And it just, I let the story take me where it wants to take me.
That's great. It's almost sounds like it's almost like you're watching, like you're recording what you see in your mind's eye or what you're experiencing. Maybe like you're, it's almost like you're not even writing, you're recording this story that's just showing itself to you.
Exactly.
As you that go is, along.
That is exactly probably the best description I've had, because as I said, I'm very visual, and I can't just write a story unless and I have two screens here. On my left screen, I have their profile with all their information, date of birth, who their parents are, who their friends are, what jobs they have, blah, blah. And then I have the pictures. And there have been times when I kind of get stumbled and I just sit and I look at the pictures and it's like telling them to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it'll be like, okay, this is where you want to go with the picture or the story. And, I'm off and running. My theory is this: in the mornings, if I can get the first maybe two or three sentences written, I'm good to go.
Yeah. I do remember you and I had a conversation recently and about your process of how to keep everything straight as far, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, having those photographs handy. So that helps you to keep that
that image of that character in your mind consistently. What do you think? I know you've got some tips that you've developed over this time period, ways for you to keep your writing consistent, keep your characters consistent. If you could share that with us a little bit, that'd be awesome.
Well, as opposed to an outline,
yeah,
I do take notes. I do write down because my wife Sherry and my good friend Diane, who are my editors, made the mistake a long time ago of telling me just get it on paper and they would fix it. And that was probably the worst thing they could have said. So I have learned, because I you know, they'll come back and say, well, you know, in chapter one you said so and so was something, in chapter six there's something different. Yeah. So I have learned, though I don't do an outline, I do take notes. I do jot down something. Actually this morning I needed to find something toward the end of the book that I'm writing, and I went back and I kind of got engrossed in my own book because I don't remember writing it, and I read five chapters trying to find the information I needed, because I was bad and I didn't take that little note that says whatever. The current book I have, I've written down three different names. One is a waitress, one is a neighbor, one is the general manager of the place, two people that are interns, and one that's a weekend helper at the particular place where these people work. And had I not written those down, I would be spent half my time going backwards to find Jackie, who's a weekend helper, or to find Liz and Doug. So I do take notes that way, but the story itself, I just let it, you described it very well. It's like I'm watching a movie in my head. I've always been very visual. Yeah. I was in the screen printing business. I printed for 35 years and I did all my own artwork. And you appreciate that. You're an artist.
Yeah.
And I did all my own artwork, but people would describe to me what their business was, and I would visualize that, and then I would create their logo or whatever from that.
Yeah.
So that's what I do as far as keeping my story straight. It doesn't mean it always is. I mean, there's more than once that either Diane or Sherry go, they were doing something else in the beginning of the book, and all of a sudden they have a whole different job. So we have to go back and rework, you know, something. And you know what? The only time I usually run into that problem is when I take a break. If I don't write for a couple of days, being the binge writer I am, if I stay and the more consistent I stay, the better my story flows. If I take two or three days off, I have to go back and read the last two or three chapters to get into the flow. And once I get into the flow, I'm off and running. And I'm not a typist, but I've learned to type pretty well,
you know, I guess so.
With my own little style here.
I guess so. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I've had my own experiences as well with the inconsistency. I had a very embarrassing situation where I put my first book out, and I had to re-release it because someone pointed out to me that I changed the last name of my main character. I couldn't believe I did that.
Been there, done that. We literally re-edited the first six books.
Yeah.
Because after we got into this and got a little more experience, and a couple people pointed out a couple little glitches, and then we went back and read them. They were, in our opinion, they were horrible. And so I have boxes of them downstairs that are going to be thrown away.
Yeah.
But we re-edited the books and cleaned them up. And I'm very happy with how they came out. We had to learn. It was a learning process.
Yeah.
Not being experienced. My wife is a crazy reader. I mean, she reads all the time. But
thank goodness.
But it's a little different story when you're editing. And
yeah,
the problem is, she says now, her and Diane both, is that they tend to edit everything they read.
Oh,
not
no,
just my
yeah,
books.
That's right. Now that she's so used to doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can understand that.
Anything from, you know, paperwork at work and or something in the newspaper. And you know, she catches all the little spelling errors and all that stuff. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. So let's see. let's see, before we wrap up, I'll ask about, yeah. So, yeah, I got to touch on your wife and how supportive she is about your writing. So you did mention that she still has a full-time job. Is that correct? So,
yeah, I'm the old man. I turned 65 years old yesterday.
Okay. So you've so at least with your retirement, that allows you to, so how does that work with your writing schedule, you know, and how do you work out that time with, you know, being married and, you know, a lot of writers, they deal with this kind of issue where, you know, because writing can be a very solitary thing and usually is. And some writers like myself end up feeling a little guilty, you know, giving themselves that alone time to write. But it sounds like she's extremely supportive about
it. She is, but she also has a full-time job and she's 8 years younger than me. So she goes to work every day and I spend the days during the day. That's when I do the bulk of my writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, once she gets home, we have dinner. And if I'm in the middle of something critical, like near a crescendo of the book, you know, I'll come back in my office. We have separate offices side by side. Mm-hmm. And I'll come back in my office sometimes and finish up something at night. But generally speaking, I the bulk of my work, I do some of my best writing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ah, yes.
I get up and if I get up and I have a thought in my head, once again, no outline, but if I wake up and I have a thought, I have to I run in, I turn the computer on and it's not unusual for me to sit down and write down. I'll type a chapter before she even leaves for work.
So that's really wonderful how your schedules really match up that way. You know, you're able to do the bulk of your writing, you know, while she's at work, and then you guys get to have time together afterwards. So that's really awesome how that just works out for you there. And let's see if I have any other questions here. Oh yeah. Do you have a favorite book out of all of your books that you've written? Is there one that is kind of your favorite?
There's two answers to that. The one answer, I've got two that I really like, and that is my autobiography, because it just tells my story and all the people that I've met. But the first book, Radio Dreams, maybe because it's the first one. The other side of that is my most favorite book is the last one I wrote. Every time I write, you know, because it's fresh and it's, and I think that I've gotten better because I had no training. I had, you know, I was a business major in college and police science major. I was not a literature in any way. So these are just stories that come into my head and I put them down and try and make them to be as interesting and as fun and as warm and friendly as possible. There are, you know, I try and put a little controversy in them here and there. I've been pounded on that I need that. It's very hard for me to do with my characters, but I work on it. And I think every book gets a little bit better.
Yeah. 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 I think we all have that thing too, where I am in love with my characters and it is really hard for me to put them through a hard time, but I know I have to in order to make the story interesting, you know, as I end up feeling like, oh, I'm sorry, just please, you know, bear with me, character, because I'll get you through it. I'll get you through it. I promise.
You know? Right. Well, I had a lot of books. I've got a lot of books in the middle where I really didn't have that because I just could not bring myself to have the characters have an argument or to have the characters separate and then come back together. And I know it should be, but you know what? Yeah, I don't know. I had somebody tell me that my characters were all too nice. And then I had somebody else that I know tell me that, well, Hallmark didn't become a $1 billion company without having nice people. You know, but I've been lucky enough to get this far along and we'll just keep plugging along and hopefully people will enjoy what I write and we can sell a few books at the Book Expo.
Yeah, hopefully more than a few. So
that'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Well, Gary, It's a pleasure talking with you always. And I am just so always inspired and amazed by how much work you're able to put out. And I think every writer that might be listening to this, they'll be like, okay, I wish I could channel some of that. So thanks so much for sharing all of this with us. This has been great.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And as you may remember, in Columbus last year, I threw out the idea, why can't we have one of these up north? Mm-hmm. But I was not in any position to run the thing. And Wendy jumped right in and said, hey, I'll do it. And I just kind of went, it's all yours, because I was not in a position to be able to take over. And you've done a great job getting us to this point. And I think it's going to be a great event. And I hope everybody and their brother comes out to see it.
Amen. Yes, please. So thanks a lot, Gary. And God bless you and your work. Keep on trucking.
All righty. Thank you so much, Wendy.
All right.
For today's art assignment, I'm thinking about the topic of retirement. And if you're nowhere close to retirement right now, bear with me. This art assignment relates to you. Gary shared that when he retired, that's when inspiration hit to start writing, and the words have not stopped flowing. I find that so inspiring. During one of my many different classes that I've taken with the Artbundance creator Marnie Makradakis, one of the ladies in the group came up with the term re-inspirement instead of retirement. That's what Gary makes me think about, because he's so inspiring. And that's what I'd like to explore with you now. So let's play with the words retire and inspire. So on a piece of paper or in your journal, try writing this exercise. Begin with this first writing prompt. When I retire, I will inspire dot, dot, dot. Let me repeat. When I retire, I will inspire dot, dot, dot. And if you're already retired, then just imagine maybe what you would still like to inspire in your current retirement. And on another page, begin another writing prompt with, when I inspire, I will retire dot, dot, dot. Let me repeat, when I inspire, I will retire, dot, dot, dot. So those are two very different prompts there. But I'm curious to see what might come up for you. Feel free to share the results on the podcast Facebook page, which I'll have a link to in the description. So before I conclude officially, I want to send the message out again to anyone around the Cleveland, Ohio area to please come see me and the other Expo authors at the North Coast Indie Author Book Expo. It's going to be on Saturday, June 25th at the Lorain County Community College Spitzer Center in Elyria, Ohio. This is an event that I've organized to empower independently published authors of all kinds. We have over 60 authors who will be there selling their books. We'll have door prizes, we'll have awards for authors, and even a food truck. Thanks to Gary, he's the one who prompted that. So thank you, Gary, for that. And for more information about that event or to sign up for next year's event, go to the website northcoastindies.weebly.com. So I just had to give that extra little plug at the end there, because I'm just so excited about this event, and it's only a week away now. Again, it was such a joy speaking with Gary, and I'm hoping that some of his binge writing energy rubs off on me. Oh boy, I sure need it. I hope you have a wonderful day. Please take very good care of yourself. And remember, no matter what is happening in your life, when there may not seem to be a way, you can always create a way. God bless.